Who cries when a trade deal dies?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. It is a total collapse for a global trade deal said to have been worth $1 trillion. The World Trade Organization had hoped the agreement would add 21 million jobs around the globe by easing customs rules, but India's refusal to sign means the deal is off now that the deadline has passed. Tom Miles is covering this for Reuters in Geneva, the WTO's home base. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Mark.
So what could this trade agreement have accomplished if it came to be?
Well, this trade agreement is called trade facilitation. What that means is streamlining customs procedures. If you imagine, you know, an African border, you're trying to get across it with your container, and you get to the border and the border post is closed and you need bits of paper. And the idea of this agreement would be to put in global standards where everybody agrees to put in the same customs form. You could do it online. You can imagine this could just really, really speed things up.
And why is it the agreement fell apart?
Well, it fell apart basically because India vetoed it. Not because they had any problem with this deal, but they had a problem with another area, which is agricultural stockpiling, where India says it's not getting enough attention paid to its desires. From a Geneva point of view, for diplomats here, it doesn't make any sense. This was already agreed. It was supposed to be a rubber stamping occasion. And suddenly India said, we're not happy, you're not listening to us. The assumption here is that it's the new Indian government is very much playing to a domestic audience. But also the feeling is very much that it's a self-defeating move because this would have been hugely in India's interests, especially because it would unlock the path to future negotiations, which India has been keen on.
Okay, Tom Miles with Reuters in Geneva. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Mark.
We're seeing signs of health in the housing market, but as demand grows for new housing, builders are having trouble finding workers. Many construction pros who lost jobs during the recession haven't come back. Shannon Mullen reports on a shortage of skilled workers that's getting worse.
Can you blame them? Unemployment among construction workers peaked at 22% during the recession, according to the National Association of Home Builders. The group's chief economist, David Crow, says no wonder so many found jobs in other industries, and housing still seems too unstable to come back.
More than half of builders are now telling us that they are having trouble finding construction workers, carpenters, brick masons, painters, and so forth.
60% of builders the group surveyed say they had to delay projects in the last 6 months or raise home prices because of the shortage. That's not a drag on the housing market yet, says Kermit Baker with Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies.
But, yeah, with growth coming down the road, in all likelihood, certainly we're going to have serious problems in the future if we don't train and attract more workers into the construction industry.
Baker says builders just need to get their muscle memory back for growing their workforce. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks down across the board in global trading. In Europe, we're seeing a 1.4% drop in the UK, 2% down in Germany. Asian markets ended down. All that follows a rough day yesterday on Wall Street. The S&P dropped 2%, ending the month at 1930. The Dow lost 1.9%, finishing at 16,563 and breaking a streak of five straight monthly gains. Military life includes long deployments abroad, which can make it tricky to keep track of finances back home. That's one reason service members are a prime target for predatory lenders. A new report from ProPublica looks into a company that appears to be targeting military families and going after them in court in a way that makes it hard for service members to defend themselves. Tracy Weber is a senior editor at ProPublica. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
So the company you look at in this story is called USA Discounters. It has outlets near major military bases, lots of military customers. They sell furniture or electronics on credit. And if the service members fall behind on payments, USA Discounters takes them to court in a pretty surprising way. Explain what happens.
Well, USA Discounters has an unusual clause in their contracts that many service members say they don't actually notice when they're signing their contract. that says should they fall behind and the company would need to take legal action against them, that action will take place in Virginia.
And military members can be stationed at many states across the U.S., around the world. In your story, we hear from a sergeant who was sued in Virginia while being based in Germany for something he bought in Georgia. It's really hard and expensive to get to a court date in Virginia if you're in Germany or somewhere else. So we've talked before on this show about the Service Members Civil Relief Act, which was supposed to ensure that military families can defend themselves. So explain how what you've uncovered here is going on.
There's a federal law that says that if they have to go to court and they can't make it, that a lawyer would be appointed to represent their interests. But we found the way it works with these USA Discounters cases that a lawyer basically sends them a letter that says, hey, there's a court case going on against you in Virginia. They could be on active duty. They could be unable to attend a court date. And USA Discounters wins most of its cases because the service members simply don't show up.
And so what does USA Discounters, the company suing all these military families, say for itself?
USA Discounters says, first of all, they're buying things. They're responsible for paying them back. They've signed a contract and that they make efforts to contact the service members ahead of time. And they said they offer credit to service members who might not be able to get it otherwise, who either have bad credit or no credit, and their business practices are sound.
Okay, Tracy Weber, senior editor at ProPublica. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
And finally, a one-of-a-kind piece of sports history has sold at auction for an impressive price. A ticket stub signed by Lou Gehrig on the day of his famed farewell speech sold for nearly $100,000 yesterday. It's the only one Gehrig signed from the day he stepped down after a diagnosis of the disease, now bearing his name. I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.